Well, Congressman Michael Capuano has represented Massachusetts 7th since 1998, and on Tuesday of this week, he wrote on Facebook that, quote, "This election is a great opportunity to highlight my aggressive, progressive record opposing Trump and standing up to Republicans in Washington." And the congressman joins us now from Cambridge. Representative Capuano, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
So I want to get right to the heart of the matter. You heard all that Councillor Ayanna Pressley had to say just then. She's not quibbling with your record at all. She's basically making the argument that the district has changed, the times have changed, and therefore the representation for the 7th has to change in order to get new, effective ideas in Washington. What's your response to that?
Well, the district has changed. It's always changing. The times have changed, and people do need to change with them. I believe I have done that. I didn't think I would be serving in a Congress that has President Trump as its leader. I never thought that. I've changed to adapt to that. So I think that's fine. But I don't remember those arguments being made when Senator Kennedy or Senator Kerry ran for re-election back then when Ms. Pressley worked for them. That seemed like their seniority was something that Massachusetts wanted to keep. But during her interview, I didn't hear any specifics, which I still have not heard, as to things that we would do differently, which I think what elections are all about. Yes, it's what you have done yesterday, but it's also about what you will do, more importantly, tomorrow. And that's about issues. And I think that all campaigns will be about that, whether the candidates like that or not.
So this is really interesting, and I have to say I have a great amount of gratitude to both of you for coming on today, because I think the Massachusetts 7th District right now and the race between the two of you may be one of the most important in the country, because there's a fundamental question about the Democratic Party being played out here. I mean, I'm thinking about the election of Senator Doug Jones in Alabama. 98% of African-American women there cast their ballot for Doug Jones. They put him over the line. So they're the heart of the Democratic Party. And I guess the question isn't so much, you know, how might people, how might representatives vote? Because Ayanna Pressley did not have an answer to that question. She doesn't take any issue with your record. But so much, who is doing the representing of the Democratic Party?
Well,
what's your thought on that?
The Alabama race was Democrat versus Republican. The difference was stark on issue after issue after issue. And the fact that certain groups voted monolithically one way or the other is, I think, is a result of where the individual candidates stood. That I don't think that people run to the polls and vote simply on the basis of identity. Yes, it is a factor. Of course, we all know that. It is not just a factor in race. It's also ethnicity. It's everything. It's gender. It's gender identity. People do take those factors into account. Of course they do. But if that were the case, every single elected official in this country would be a female, because women outnumber men all across the country. And that's not what people do. People, it's a factor, but they may say, okay, that's one factor. The other factors are, what do you stand for? What have you done? What are you going to do tomorrow? I would disagree with your premise. I think this race, Ayanna Pressley and I would probably vote the exact same way on pretty much every vote we'd have on the floor of the House. That was not the case in Alabama. Those two candidates would have voted probably the opposite on every major vote. I think the real race is really in this, to some degree, this is a little unfortunate that we have to spend time and money on a family fight, but it's at the same time, the real fights are across this country to bring a majority of Democrats back into the House and Senate, so that the issues we care about, which again, Ayanna and I share, are the ones that get heard and the ones that set the priorities in this country, so we can make sure that we stop Donald Trump dead in his tracks.
This is a delicate moment, because I hear you saying that it's a little unfortunate, in your words, that spending time and money on a family fight. But what about those folks in your district who are taking a longer view here and saying, maybe the Massachusetts delegation needs a woman of color, finally?
I cannot be a woman of color, you know, and if that's what people care about, you know, look, that's fine. I accept that. I understand that. I just don't think there are that many people who will vote for me because I'm a white male, or vote against me because I'm a white male. Some will do that both ways. 99% of my constituents will look way beyond those things. It's a factor. But the bigger factors are, what can you do for me? What can you do for my family? What position are you in to push the issues we care about and to successfully do that?
Just a couple more questions about this race, and then I do want to get to certain things that are going on in Washington. But, you know, Ayanna Pressley, in her campaign announcement, said, I read this a bit earlier, that she believes that the district demands more than just an ally, that they demand an advocate and a champion, implying that perhaps you haven't been those things.
You'll have to ask her what she means by those. I mean, those words are very subjective, and she's entitled to use any words she wants to describe herself or me. I honestly don't know what she means by them.
Well, I think I'll do some interpreting here, that to get back to this idea of being a reliable progressive Democratic vote isn't enough, that perhaps she's implying that you haven't been in the forefront of
things. Well, I'll give you an example. We'll just give you one local example. A few months ago, 6 or 7 or 8 months ago, before Ms. Pressley was even thinking about running for Congress, at least to my knowledge, there was nobody talking about it, when the Fairmont line was taking trains out of service, the line that services predominantly the minority districts of my minority population of my district, when they were taking those trains out and moving them, I was the leading voice that said it. And when we stopped that practice, you know, she was nowhere to be seen. Number two, it had been going on for a while, and she didn't say anything for it for the entire time. Once the minute we found out about it, we took action, and it stopped. It has stopped to this day. And then to try to drive ridership up, I'm the one who stood up and made sure that line was open for 2 weeks for free ridership in an attempt to boost ridership. And maybe I'm wrong, but I would suggest that one small little item is an example of the type of leadership and proactive actions we take with hands-on, forward-looking, and aggressive progressive action.
Yeah. So you already have received the support of Congressman Stephen Lynch. Boston Mayor Marty Walsh has said he's going to endorse a candidate, hasn't yet specifically said whom yet, but he had some pretty nice things to say about you yesterday. So eventually, you know, in terms of the Massachusetts political establishment, we'll see where the chips fall. But Ayanna Pressley also talked about sort of fighting what she called the behemoth of entrenched incumbency in Massachusetts politics.
That's hilarious to me. Look, I mean, yes, I'm an incumbent. Yep, that we all know that. And yes, I have a lot of friends around the district because I do a good job. You know, that's number one. Number two, I laugh about it only because when I ran for this office, nobody outside of my small little group of friends thought we had a chance. We were not on anybody's list of the people who could win this seat. So, like her, I have been underestimated all my life as well, and I respect that, and I understand that. I will be very clear. Ayanna is a good person. She's a friend. She'll make a great candidate, but we are not going to underestimate her, and we are going to do everything we can to win this. So the behemoth, whatever it is, it doesn't play into it. I mean, what does play into it is, yes, I think I've done a good job. I will have an opportunity to lay out my record to my constituents who have maybe aren't as familiar with it as others. But that's what campaigns are all about, and I think that's what's going to happen for the next several months.
So one more question about the campaign. I mean, honestly, I mean, Representative Capuano, every time you've come on, you've been always honest. But I'm going to underscore, frankly, how surprised were you that now you have a challenger in the primary?
Not that surprised. We had heard rumors about this for about a month beforehand. You know, there were actions being taken, and so be it. I also know that the times are low. I have a lot of constituents who are very upset with the Trump administration and very agitated, and they've been out in the street. They've been protesting. They're looking for ways to express that concern. I understand that, and so therefore, it's not a real surprise to me that I would get a challenger from somewhere along the line. But challengers have an obligation to distinguish themselves from the incumbent, and you know, Ms. Pressley will have that same opportunity to do. Let's see what she will present to the voters as to what she will do differently, bringing a different lens. Of course she will. I have 800,000 constituents. Each and every one of them has a different lens on life, including my wife, and they're all important, and that's very interesting, but that's not what politicians do. Politicians try to see the world through other people's lenses and try to bring people together so that we can have a mutual view of the world and how do we work together, not from the individual views that we all have.
Well, since I've got you, just one more question about stuff actually going on in Washington, and it's an issue that I know is important to everyone in Massachusetts, but also constituents in your district. I just want to get your quick take on the president's four-pillared plan for immigration that he presented in the State of the Union. You know, today he just tweeted as well that the Democrats are doing nothing about DACA. They resist, blame, complain, and obstruct and do nothing. Did you see any room for negotiation with the president on his plan that he presented?
It's hard to tell. I mean, there is always room for negotiation, but you need two parties willing to negotiate. I mean, the president has finally, after months of fooling around with it, it seems as though he has set out his starting point. If it is an end point, then there is no room. That's not negotiation. That's here. Take it or leave it. He's entitled to his opinion. There is plenty of room between him and us to maybe come up with some kind of a compromise. But I will tell you that his approach has been terrible. That kind of a comment, unnecessary, inappropriate, doesn't help negotiations or bring people together. And for instance, the other night at the State of the Union, I took particular offense, not at the four pillars, I mean, because I don't like them, but again, he's entitled to his opinion, but I took particular offense at the way he presented them and then tied them together with one of the worst gangs in the world, this MS-13 gang, as if every immigrant is a member of a gang. It's offensive. I will tell you, every immigrant group has been subject to those kinds of broad stroke innuendos and sometimes outright commentary. And I would have hoped that the president of the United States, any president of the United States, even those I disagree with, would not do that. But apparently we had to listen to it. I found that particularly offensive.
Well, Congressman Michael Capuano joining us today from Cambridge. It's been a real pleasure, as always, to speak with you. Look forward to having lots more conversations in the coming month.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.